We are in the middle of a sermon series in 2 Corinthians, but it's Thanksgiving. A lot of people are gone doing their thing, doing the holidays. And so we are taking a break, which is, it's pastor's open mic. And so I get to try out my latest jokes, see if they work on you, and then see if it works at second and third. It just gives me freedom to kind of go where I want, which is fun. I like that. No boundaries. A few boundaries. We preached in September a series on where are we going? Where are we going as a church? What are we looking at doing in the upcoming year or years? Where is God taking us? Where has he taken us? What are we excited about here at Hope? What do we bleed? Our vision, our values, those kind of things. One of the things that is in front of Hope is, you can't feel it today, but normally this service is standing room only. It is just brutal. And it's surprising that people come back, but people come back. And as elders and as staff, we've been wrestling through this. And one of the opportunities that was made known to us was this building next door. And so Augustana last week voted overwhelmingly to move forward with selling. Yes. 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 This is just the intent to sell, and then you guys will be having town hall meetings after each service next Sunday, and we'll have the opportunity for you guys to come. Some of you won't because you're just like, whatever. Some of you are members, and you're just really excited because you just became a member, and you're like, I get to vote about that, and you're just really excited to exercise your right, and so we'll be having town hall meetings where we can come and ask questions, and we'll try to answer as many questions as we can, and then the 11th, we will actually vote, and that's not a time for conversation. Conversation has to happen before that, so we'll have the vote on December 11th, so we're really excited about that possibility. We don't want to be inflammatory and just say, this is the way it is. We're a congregational church. That means members vote and kind of confirm or don't confirm what they feel like the elders are kind of leading in the next steps there. So that's one of the pieces of where we're going as a church. Another piece that I added in one of my sermons was just our desire as a church family to impact a city. We want to come alongside as many of you as possible and build you up in the faith. And if you choose to continue on in your faith here with Hope as a family, we want to hopeify you and get you connected to the vision, values, membership stuff. And then hopefully see you seize opportunities to serve and to lead and to grow and just grow you in leadership. And we're all about leadership development here, all about building you up as a follower of Christ. And we're hoping you're asking yourself the question, okay, so this 24-hour prayer we had, and then we got this building possibility, we're going to vote on that. We hope you're asking yourself the question, how can I be a part of this? What can I do? What would that look like for me to be a part of that? Be continuing to think about that as things unravel would be some sort of out-of-control thing. We are unfolding very systematically. It happens. But be thinking about that. Be thinking about, yeah, what role God might grant you to play in this. We're all about having each person at Hope get their cleats dirty on the field. We don't want a bunch of bench-warming scrubs. We want people engaged and doing their part. So we're excited about that. Today, though, we're going to look at three groups of Hopesters. And we're going to look at people that come into Hope as unchurched people. People that come into Hope and our family as de-churched people. If you don't know what that is, I'll talk about that in a moment. And then we have another group of people that have been hanging out, waiting for the unchurched people to come and the de-churched people to come, and that's the over-churched crowd. The crowd that, you know, they've been at Hope for a long time, or they're very seasoned in this thing called the church. They have Bibles, but they don't have just Bibles. They have things that they put their Bibles in, and they kind of can close them with a zipper, and they have special bookmarks, and they have notebooks and journals that they carry with them. The overchurch crowd. And so when somebody up front says, hey, we're celebrating Advent, they're all like, yeah, I'm tracking, man. I'm tracking. I know what that is. I got my calendar at home. I'm going with you guys. So we have three groups of people at Hope. And as you can tell, I'm going to make light with each of those three. I have been in each camp at one point in my life. So I'm poking fun at myself in some of this. So I apologize in advance. If you kind of have a sensitive area, and I come and kind of give the needle to that, you can email me. I got a special email, core1@hopecc.com, because I wanna address yours first. No, I apologize in advance. It's not our, we're not here to bemoan and be rude to people, but hopefully you can make laugh at yourself, laugh with us. We're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you. And but our vision really, truly is to honor God by helping as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's what we're after. Week in, week out, whether on Sunday or a small group Monday or Thursday night Old Testament or film and theology, any of the events that you come to connect with at Hope, that's what we're going after. We want to honor God. First and foremost, it's about Him and it's not about us. Secondly, we want to help as many people as possible. Why? So Hope can get big? No. This creates more building challenges and parking challenges. And so it's not just about grow Hope big. We feel like Jesus Christ is worthy of worship, worthy of people's attention. I'm standing down there and we're singing the songs of praise. And sometimes I have to, you know, think about, all right, well, that lyric, what verse does that connect to? And other times I actually have to picture Jesus on the cross as the one who died for my sin, died in my place. This morning, though, I was picturing Jesus standing right on that floor facing me. And my mind was captured. My heart was captured by thinking about Jesus, earthly human flesh Jesus, who every time, every single time, He was baited and tempted to sin and turn from God. He didn't. I thought, that is a God I want to worship. I can worship a Jesus who every time, the hook was baited, put out there in front of Him, He said, "Now, I got the love of my Father. I'm good." So we believe that is a Jesus worthy of worship. We want to help as many people as possible come to know Jesus. But not just make a one-time decision or pray a prayer one time. We want to help them grow in that relationship, becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ in every area of their life, no area of their life untouched. That's what we're after here. And so whether you're in this unchurched, de-churched, or over-churched crowd, the point is not just, hey, that's who I am, but we want to meet you where you're at and encourage you to take one step forward. So, as we look at these different groups, lighten up. It's okay. We're having fun. Pastor's away. Cat will play. The unchurched crowd. Unchurched. Many people look at certain cities or communities. Specifically, let's talk about the U.S. Let's talk about Minneapolis and St. Paul and say, man, there's a lot of church buildings. You guys, these cities are clearly a churched community. And for us, I'm not going to look at unchurched and primarily think, is there a building locally? And kind of say, well, that area is church. That community is churched. They don't need a gospel witness. In fact, I would say it's not even about a church or getting somebody who doesn't know about church into that building. For me, it comes down to, is the good news of Jesus Christ being proclaimed? We had brothers back there say, praise God, Jesus Christ has taken away my sin. He saved me. And for me, that is part and parcel of the church, a gospel witness, where somebody's talking about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, not just 2,000 years ago, but for you today, present tense, in your job, in your family, in your relationships, wherever you're at, making a daily, moment-by-moment impact. For me, a gospel witness is a part of this. Not just a building, not just getting people into a building, but having the chance to proclaim who Jesus is, what He's done, the fact that He died on a cross but didn't stay dead. He raised to new life. And now He's stronger than death. Stronger than death. Most people in this world don't know that there's something stronger than death. But the gospel says Jesus is Lord, even of death. And so for me, I'm going to look at this group of people, this unchurched group of people. And I was there. I was sitting in pews of a building, but never hearing the gospel preached. Not hearing the good news of what Jesus has done. But I love the unchurched crowd. I love meeting an unchurched person because they're just a blank slate. They many times don't know who Jesus is, don't know about the church, don't know about the failings of the church, and we get a chance to share on a blank slate what the gospel is. Now, there are some things that come along with being an unchurched person. There can be some roughness around the edges, okay? The gospel maybe hasn't taken root in all of their life. This is how it'll come out. You'll be talking to somebody across the table, and maybe they just heard the gospel the first time, and they just start spreading it. You know that person, right? It's just kind of like storm in hell with a squirt gun. That's the kind of people that unchurched are like, no, God can save a life. God wants to save everybody in this coffee shop right now. And they just go from table to table sharing the gospel. And then they'll have one conversation and somebody else will give their life to Jesus. And they'll come back and say, hey, pastor, I got to share this. This is unbelievable. You're never going to believe this. I'm sitting there across, we're getting coffee and they were drinking a mocha and I was drinking a latte. And you'll never understand. You'll never believe this, pastor. That bastard accepted Christ. Okay? There's some overchurch people going, oh my gosh, he just said that. I can't believe he just said that. Okay? Okay? Unchurched people are going, dude, he did? That's unbelievable. That SOB did it. I can't believe it. And the de-church person going, I don't know if I don't get these people. These are just weird people. Okay? An unchurched person is rough around the edges. They haven't tamed the tongue. Christ hasn't come and brought change to all areas of their life. And many times, an unchurched person will come in on fire, excited, hear that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and the church is his body, and I get to join together with it. But because of some of those rough edges, they will get spit out of the local church. They're 100% zeal, 100%. Will do anything for the Lord and are surprised coming into a local church that going so hard after Jesus would cause so many waves, such a ripple effect. And for them, they don't understand it because all they want to do is be sold out after Jesus. And because they say something flippantly or because Christ hasn't come and worked in that area of your life, many times, us, and I'm an over-church guy now, I'm just kind of like, whoa, dude, whoa, hold on here, time out. So the gospel, for an unchurched person, the gospel is just starting to take root. Maybe they haven't had the gospel, or maybe they've been sitting in the pews and there's not been this gospel witness. And so the first thing that we're trying to do with unchurched people, we want hope to be a place where if you're an unchurched, you have not heard the gospel, we want to come alongside you where you're at. We want to come and bring the good news of Jesus. And I hope that this place can be a place receptive to you. That we can create an environment in which you don't come into and get spit out of. But in your life, the gospel can take time to find a root and to grow. And that a faith can be sanctified, made more holy. Grow in the righteousness of God. It's not going to happen just day one. But we as a church, can we come alongside those that are unchurched? But first thing is connecting them to Jesus. First thing. You guys know these two, Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan? Historic moment in Lieutenant Dan's life and Forrest Gump's life here. Lieutenant Dan asks, have you found Jesus yet, Gump? You guys remember what Forrest says? Didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him, right? Nobody told me. Why doesn't somebody tell me I'm supposed to be looking for Jesus? At Hope, we want to put in there, and we're talking to our boys right now about this. You were created in the image of God. You were created to bring honor to him. He's the one that made you. He wants to come in and not just be the one who created you, but the one who now leads you. But sin, our rebellion, tears that apart. Listen to what it says in Romans 10. What does it say? The word that is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you hear that this morning? For with the heart one believes and is justified, made right. Where there was friction, where you were far apart from God, he's brought you near. Though at one time we were an enemy with God, he's made peace with you. The Christmas message, right? when the angel comes and says, peace be to the world. God wants to bring peace between us and him and then in our relationships with one another so we might be justified and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Don't have to do anything. Don't have to do church. Don't have to be a certain type of Christian. Believe with your mouth. Confess that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is a one-time confession. That is a great way to get started in your relationship with God. And then we need to have that day after day after day. The question that Jill asked me is not, hey, was that a good decision back in August 27th of 2000? Was that a good decision to marry me? She says, today, will you marry me? She wants to know how we're doing today. So that's the unchurched crowd. If you're in that camp, we love you at Hope. We want to come alongside you. And I hope as a church community, we can be a receptive group in those areas where you might just be a little bit rough. That's okay. That's okay. D-church crowd. The crowd that says, I did church once. D. D-E. I did. I did church. I don't do church anymore. Too many things happen, you know. They look at the zeal of the unchurched and go, well, that's good, but they'll grow out of that. Surely they'll grow out of that. Like, they got to grow up and get with it. Then they look at kind of the overchurch crowd and just go, wow, they didn't miss it. The church is broken, and they're still there, and why haven't they woken up to the fact that the church is broken? Kind of, they're just kind of blown away by their idealism. The blessing of this group is they see the problems of the church, and they want to fix it. Many times they want to fix it. Sometimes that fix will happen within the church. They'll try and revitalize or change the church. Many times they'll just go start something new. They'll go outside the church to start something new. I want to give you a couple reasons for somebody being a D church. They did the church and now they don't do the church. What are some of those reasons? One is for relational reasons. Relationships in the church. You, me, the other guy, just relationship stuff, okay? At Hope, that's what this looks like. I can't meet anybody. And I'm like, really? Like, there's a lot of people. You can't meet one person? Like, I can't. And what they're meaning is I can't connect with anybody. It's just too big. And I can't meet anybody. I can't meet everybody. I want to know everybody, and I can't. And Hope's gotten bigger. And it used to be that we were just kind of like this smaller group, and it was fun, and I knew people, and they knew me. And now I come and just kind of like, and why are they coming to my church? And that is that not true though? This picture? I mean, is that not Hope in the last few years? It's just blown up. And just where do we put all these people? And how are we gonna, you know, Natty is doing a bang up job just getting people into small groups, and Rachel and Laura, they're just doing a great job trying to help people find smaller community within this large group. But it's tough. Sometimes it's just hard to get anything done. Just too much red tape, too much bureaucracy. Man, they set up these systems and you kind of come in and just kind of like, it doesn't work. I can't make a dent. I can't make a difference. I want to be impactful. I want to influence. It's just too hard. There's just too much red tape, too much, I got to do this, I got to go after that. Membership takes like 4 hours. Only 4 hours. You can be member. We'll get you a member. But there's just too much. There's just too much that I got to walk through, skip through, jump through. I can't do it. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. And it might be some of you being directly impacted, abused, hurt, let down because of a pastor, a youth leader. You just don't trust church people. You don't trust them. You won't trust them again. Many times these people show up at Hope and just, they're asking the question, if I go with you, if I come into your fellowship, join a small group, will you hurt me? Yes and no. My hope and prayer is that this type of hurt will never happen at Hope. Not once. I pray for perfection against this type of hurt. But relational hurt, emotional hurt, careless words, yeah, we'll hurt you. Some I've hurt in this sermon, or I will hurt later this sermon. Another group. Lack of transparency. Takes a little time there. But just a lack of transparency, a lack of vulnerability. Person on up front is plastic, they're fake, they're not real, I can't connect with them, everything in their life is happy, happy, joy, joy, and that's not my life. And so I just can't connect with them. I'm so concerned. I come into this place called Hope, and it's like, I want hope. I want to have hope. They say that there is hope. But if I were to get real with somebody at Hope, what would their response be? I did it at a previous church. I got real. I laid it all out. I got all my dirty laundry out there. And they responded with disgust or judgment. So if I do that at Hope, if I get real, like I did one time, what will the response be here? So the response to this type, if you're going through something where all of a sudden it's just there's relational hurts, relational pains, this is what church becomes for you. You do some sort of house church, I'm going to get it small, I'm going to be easy. There's not going to be this bureaucracy of red tape. I'm not going to have to worry about maintaining thousands of relationships. I'm just going to get my four or five friends in a room. We're going to do house church. That's many times the response to any sort of bigger church, mega church, is I'm going to do house church. There's kind of this pendulum swing that comes back the other way. I'm not against house church. Some of you, you put on Hope like an old polyester jacket and it just doesn't fit. You're just like, this might be your church then. Is that house church where you can be real and you can share prayer requests and everybody's Thanksgiving is going to get shared around the table? And we didn't get that. We got like a dozen of you. And then we're going to keep going. So one of the de-church issues is relational. Another one is missional. The church isn't doing enough of blank. Whatever that might be for you, whatever thing that might stick out to you as being very important, very critical in the life and mission of the church, something that we should be doing, impacting others, influencing others, the church is not doing enough of it. They're not doing enough of evangelism. 2 Timothy 4:5 is clear. We have to do the work of an evangelist. Where is that happening at Hope? Who are the people that are going out in the front line sharing the gospel daily? They got their four spiritual laws and their bird book about how to have a peaceful life with God and walk in the Spirit. Who's doing that? Where's that happening? And people come to different local churches and they don't see that manifesting itself out. And we get ministries that come out of that focused on evangelism and discipleship. Who's the guy on the left? Overchurched. Yes, Dawson Trotman. Was that uncalled for? Sorry, that was... Bad Dobby. All right. So we got some Harry Potter fans. Over at church are like, Harry Potter's in the church? Who's the guy in the middle? Billy Graham. Look at you guys. You've seen it. 7 o'clock on the Thursday night, right? And he makes the call. Who's the guy on the right? Bill Bright. Yes. And I was old school. I'm Campus Crusade for Christ. Thank you very much. What's this crew thing all about? So these ministries focus on evangelism and discipleship, and that's what they're doing. They feel like there was a gap there in the 50s, and like, we need to do this. The church isn't doing it or doing it enough, and so we're going to start these ministries that are going to focus on that. We're going to be on the front lines, parachurch ministry coming alongside the church in evangelism and discipleship. Another one, there's not enough justice. Not enough justice. Not people on the front lines and saying, there's wrong, there's systematic wrong happening in our world, in our political system, in our economic system. There's just injustice. There's people that are the haves, there's the have-nots, and nobody's fighting for the voiceless, for the have-nots. There's people on the fringe. And they want to come alongside and just say, I'm going to get your voice. heard. I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to seek justice. I'm going to rescue the oppressed. The church isn't doing enough. I brought this to the leaders of the church, and they weren't in favor of it. Because there's not enough justice. And so we see with Martin Luther King on the right. Anybody know the guy on the left? Yeah. Is that you? Is that you? Look at you. You crusader of justice. Look at you. John Perkins, back in the 60s, just coming alongside those who were economically disadvantaged in Mississippi and trying to help them, trying to encourage them, trying to come alongside them, fighting for justice, fighting for equality. And then in the 90s, International Justice Mission, which oversees and against prostitution, sex trafficking, just trying to bring fairness, justice, equality, peace. Not enough compassion in the church. We need to defend the orphan. We need to plead for the widow. Anybody? Oh, this is many shiny dimes. This is a guy named Everett. And Everett saw those in need after the Korean War. Just many were orphaned due to the war. And so Everett started Compassion International. Just had a desire. 1952, starts this ministry and just says, we need to care for the orphans. And so many people become de-churched because of missional reasons. They see something lacking in the church. Maybe it's big C, capital C church. Maybe it's just their local church. They're hanging out in Fulda. I was talking to somebody from Fulda. Yeah, it's just like, hey, man, I just want to make a difference in the sex trafficking industry. And I'm living in Fulda, Minnesota, Southwest, you know. Again, so they go out and they just pioneer a new movement many times. Parachurch ministries kind of come out of this. If it's not for missional reasons, it might be theological reasons. Some people actually leave their other churches for good reasons, like they didn't preach the gospel. I'm in church and I'm not hearing Jesus. Many of you guys come to Hope and you tell us. You say, I was at this church and they don't preach Jesus. And we're just shocked, like, well, what are they talking about? Like, because maybe we're doing something wrong, you know? And many times there's not that ongoing ministry of just preaching Jesus, Christ crucified. But raised from they don't share that message often enough. And so people will show up at Hope and just saying, do you guys preach the gospel here? We say, yeah, you could come on a Sunday, you could see. Some will come into Hope and just say, hey, I'm excited, I'm thinking about, you know, coming by Hope, I'm thinking about joining the fellowship. But on issue X, you guys this or are you that? Because if you're this, I'm with you. But if you're that, we're done. And they have these litmus tests for us. And it's kind of a pass-fail. There's no curve. There's no A to F. It's just like, I can be with you, but if you're not with me, then I'm against you. And sometimes it comes with just disparagement. Just like, it's not just that I'm going to go away. I'm going to go away loudly and share my disagreement with some of your choices about theology and ministry. In life in the church. So many people get burned by the church and because the church isn't where they're at with a certain social issue. Other times, people leave the church because the gospel is preached. And Steve talked just a couple weeks ago about when the gospel is preached, many times it comes and it blesses the hearer, gives life to the soul. Tastes good. For others, it's hard to hear. It's like a bell ringing in their ears. Doesn't lift up the soul. Tastes bitter. I want to share about one person that I've had the blessing and privilege to interact with around this. I think hopefully it'll become clear my interaction, but it was back in April, kind of coming out of when I preached about false intimacy and just sexual immorality. Let me read it for you. He says, I attended the third service last week on moving forward from false intimacy. It was the third and final week on this. Because my friend told me it would be a good service for me to attend. I had grand hopes for the topic, which as a preacher, you're like, all right, what's that mean? And was a little disappointed when the answer to all my problems ended up being the gospel. Disheartened, disappointed, had high hopes. And then you preach that old, age, tired gospel, Jesus, death on a cross, resurrection. I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, but only a little. The gospel's too easy and too difficult to be a solution. I was raised in the church, became a Christian 17 years ago, and have struggled with sexual sin from the beginning. Last year, I decided that I no longer wanted to be a part of a traditional Reformed church because it seemed to me like the people who attended were all about saying and doing the right things, being very intellectual about their faith without dealing with the realities of an ugly, messy life. Most recently, and this is going to sound very crude, so I apologize in advance, I told my friend, I don't care anymore. God is never going to heal me, and I'm never going to be able to trust my feelings. So rather than hope for a real and pure relationship, I will just remain happily single and have sex when I want to. That way, I will just have this side of my life that is separate from the rest. Sometimes people leave the church because the gospel is preached and put out there as the solution. This person goes on to say, this whole way of doing things, my approach, it's pretty easy to do at a church that doesn't challenge you, but I don't think I could attend Hope and reconcile what I hear with what I do. Praise God. Praise God. I didn't think I'd ever see this person again, or never met them during this time, just interacted over email. But just 2 weeks ago, this girl comes up to me and just says, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Sure. You remember that girl that said to you that the gospel's too easy and too difficult? And I'm like, yeah. She says, that was me. And I'm like, you're still here. That's phenomenal. So many people will become de-churched, not do church anymore, because the church is actually getting it right, because the gospel is being preached, but they're not in a place to hear it. Now the overchurched. Oh, a lot of you just went, he's going to talk about us now. So we have the unchurched, we have the de-churched, those who used to do church, and then we have the overchurched. Okay? You know you're overchurched if you have kind of like a pew with a little name placard that holds your spot, right? Some of you, you'll walk in and there'll be like an unchurched person sitting in your spot and you'll just kind of be like, oh. What is that? Did they not know me? My spot? What is going on here? Overchurch crowd many times have an opinion or two. No, they tend to have lots of opinions. They have reasons why they don't or do celebrate Christmas in certain ways. And who they will allow to be around the manger scene? And certain round, jolly old guys that don't get to be around the manger scene. And you have thought about Halloween and how you're going to practice or not practice Halloween. And you think about this stuff. Church people, they don't just go through life and just say, oh, well, that's what culture told me to do, so I'm doing it. No, they've many times, in a very healthy way, wrestled through this with God. And talk to one another, talk to their family. What are we going to do? What does our engagement with this look like and perceived? And if we don't do it, how does that get viewed? And it's not easy. It's not being a church person where you're wrestling with like, all right, here's the word of God. Here's Almighty God and what he put down in written form for us and how we should live. Okay? And then you go over and you look at your kind of calendar with different holidays, or you look at your family and how you're going to interact with them. Or you look at, like, culture and online, and whoa, how does Almighty God, with his inerrant word that is eternal, come to bear on that? It can be very tough. Many times, because it's so tough, it's so hard to seek the Spirit in the moment over and over and over again, many times it's just easier to put in a law. Churches will enact rules. Just so you know, we're doing Christmas like this and not like that. With regard to Halloween or politics or school, man, we did a lot of looking for our school, for our kids. And so many churches get really excited about rules. Here's a little humor for you. Go ahead, break the rules. Make my day, says the overchurch. Legalism. It's not just a job. It's a way of life. Many times, an overchurch crowd can see as of first importance, church. Listen to what Jesus says to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2. He says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. That's you, Hope. Working, toiling, patient endurance. And how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. That's good. You are testing apostles against the word of God. That's big time. That's pretty advanced in Christian ministry. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my namesake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. You guys are doing so many things for the kingdom of God, patiently enduring for the sake of my name. It's unbelievable. Way to go. Don't forget me. I am of first importance. I'm your first love. I am the one who made you and created you and formed you and drew you near and died on the cross for you. And now I'm leading. I want to lead your life and lead your church. Don't forget me. I don't want to just be a part of it. I want to be the center. I want to be everything. We're flying Delta flight from Texas to Memphis before I came back to Minneapolis when we were down with Steve and John. And it was just John and I. Steve went off to Nashville. Something about gospel country music he wanted to get some of. And so we went into Memphis, and there was just a solitary flight attendant. You know, just feel for the person. Just got to do everything for this group of people, you know. And flight attendant has just done a great job, and we're kind of descending into Memphis, dark out, you know, and nighttime, and I love looking out at the lights, wanted to be a pilot, just, all right, that's not part of the story. So we're going into Memphis, and it's dark, and she comes on and say, you know, this is the time of the flight where you put away your different devices, and we're going to land now, and we don't want anything messing up the plane, I assume, that, you know. So the flight attendant does this, kind of comes on and gives that little spiel. And we're all just kind of ready, waiting, you know, dark in the cabin. And all of a sudden, she comes back on and just says, excuse me, this is the time that you're supposed to stow all electronic devices. Sir, your face is lit up by your electronic device. You need to put it away. Bold, you know, just bold. And I got off the plane and I saw this. She took it and no, she didn't. But many times, those who ride the plane most often disregard what's coming from the flight attendant. And I'm a pew sitter most Sundays. And I am tempted to disregard what's coming from on stage. When Steve says, are you believing the gospel today? I need to. We need to be a church that does that internal check of heart and mind. And just say, God, am I? Am I really? Or am I going through the motions? As an overchurch person, I can rival the best of them of going through the motions. I don't want to. I don't want us to be a church that goes through the motions. This thing of Christ in the church is a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. There it is. I want to read from Colossians 1. Colossians 1 is basically take this sermon down and just look at, highlight Christ and all that Christ is, and then look at the church which is this group of misfits, okay? So let's go there. Colossians 1, 15 to 20, as we wrap up things today. It says, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. By him, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rules or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in everything he might be first, preeminent, chief. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, you, me, creation, whether on the earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That is a reason to be a part of a local church. That right there, if you can get to know him and the one who is described in this passage, that is worth getting up on a Sunday morning, joining a small group, getting connected to a body, influencing with your gifts and your talents and your heart. He is the head of the church. And there we come in. And you, the church, who were once alienated and hostile in mind. That's how we're described. Alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, the writer of this letter, became a minister. Beautiful picture of Christ and who he is in this world and for our good. And then this picture of us, alienated, hostile, a motley crew of misfits, doing our own things many times. And God invites us to be a part of his body. We get to be a part of the church. Whether unchurched, de-churched, coming back to church, over-churched, he says, will you be a part of this thing? Will you showcase me? Will you let people know about me? Some questions for you. Is the gospel everything for you today? Today. Not has it been, or not will it be, like once I get done with this term, or I get through this final project at my job, or if I just get this relationship, right now, is the gospel everything? Is God in his relationship with you through Christ, inviting you near to him, putting his spirit in you, is that enough? And is that everything? As you look around at this motley crew called the church, are you excited to do life together? Unchurched, de-churched, over-churched, weird-churched, that's us. Are you excited with the opportunity God gives us to be in relationship with one another? And then are you asking how God might use you within hope to help impact a city, to bring the name, fame, work of Jesus Christ to a world that's in desperate need of him? Will you pray with me? God, right now, we stop and we pause. God, there's no one like you in heaven and on earth. You are without rival. No one has died for the sins of the world. No one has risen from the dead. No one. Rather, God, all have turned aside. Together we have become worthless in our sin, in our dysfunction, in our brokenness, and we come to you afresh today. An unchurched, de-churched, and overchurched crowd of people. A group of misfits, God. So thankful. So thankful, God, that you'd be willing to call us son and daughter. You invite us into our family, God. It's incredible. Breathtaking, God. For this, we thank you. For each of the praises this earlier in the service that we lifted up to you, God, we thank you. Thanks for being our Lord. Thanks for being our leader. Thanks for being the head of the church. Thanks for including us in your plans for this world. Now, God, help us as we go forward and interact with people, people in the church, people outside of the church, that we would season everyone and everything the gospel and the good news. I pray this in Jesus' name.